As we begin our worship today, we'll begin with the lighting of the first candle on the Advent wreath. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, ruler of the universe. You call all nations to walk in your light and to seek your ways of justice and peace. For the night is past and the dawn of your coming is near. Bless us as we light the first candle of this wreath. Rouse us from sleep that we may be ready to greet our Lord when he comes and welcome him into our hearts and homes, for he is our light and our salvation. Blessed be God forever. Amen.
The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 64, beginning at the first verse. A reading from Isaiah. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You make those who gladly do right and those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. The word of the Lord. The second reading is from Psalms, chapter 80, beginning with the first verse. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God, let your face shine that we may be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us the scorn of our neighbors. Our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. But let your hand be upon the one at your right hand, the one who you made strong for yourself. Then will we never turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call on your name. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved. Thus ends the reading.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter, beginning with the 24th verse. Glory to you, O Lord. But in those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. And the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep awake, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. The gospel of the Lord.
Will you pray with me, please?
O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. For you are our God, and you have a plan. You have a plan to make things right, to set things right, and we await your coming. Until then, give us strength and courage to face each day, to be awake, to be alert, to be at the work that you have called us to do, the work of love and mission and goodness, a work that reflects your glory. Strengthen your church. Use this day to strengthen her for your work and your purposes. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Preaching in Advent is it's kind of a tumultuous task because we have so many things going on. We are preparing for the celebration of Jesus' birth, and yet in the text that we typically look at from the gospel, we're looking at end times text, and so it becomes kind of this multiplicity of stories that overlap and overlay each other. And so as we look at Mark 13 today, I want to try to set this chapter into its context. So the year is approximately 37 AD, and Jesus is 33 years old. He is nearing the end of his earthly life. He's making his way in this 13th chapter of Mark. He's making his way to Jerusalem where he will have his final confrontation with the powers that be. He will give up his life on a cross. That is the chronological context of Mark's gospel. The historical context of Mark's gospel is that it's 70 AD or so. The Way, a name given to those who are following Jesus, that movement is now 33 years past Jesus' death and resurrection. And the emperor Tiberius, the emperor of Rome, is threatening the existence of the Way. And he is threatening the existence of the Jewish people. Those two movements have not separated at this time. And so the emperor's armies have marched into Jerusalem. They've besieged the city. They've burned and destroyed the temple. That has brought about a crisis in the community of followers of Jesus Christ. Their very existence is threatened, and it's a terrible, terrible crisis. The literary context, then, is that it's the year, some years past 70 AD, when Mark is compelled by the Spirit to write an account of Jesus Christ. Again, the movement is fragile. Their gatherings have been outlawed, and their existence is tenuous at best, and Mark is moved by the Spirit to write this down. And so in the 13th chapter of Mark's gospel, the chronological context is Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem as he faces the cross. The historical context is the destruction of the temple. And this is where those two events collide, where they overlay each other. We find ourselves, and it's the place that we find ourselves in the 13th chapter of Mark's gospel on the first day of Advent. Now let me try to lay this out in a little more visual way. Let's say that this aisle in our sanctuary here is a timeline. The doors to the sanctuary are the creation of the world. And as we move down the aisle, we hear stories of Abraham and Sarah and how God is raising up a people, blessing a people to be a blessing to the nations. And then we hear stories of Isaac and Jacob. And then we hear stories of slavery in Egypt and how God, by the mighty hand of Moses, brings the people, frees the people from slavery and brings them into the promise, through the wilderness and into the promised land. We have stories of the judges and the kings, and then we have the prophets intermingled. And by the time we make our way to this point, we hear the story of the birth of Jesus. It's that thing that we're preparing to celebrate in just a few weeks. Jesus is born, he lives, he moves into a time of ministry, and then we move a little more forward, and again we see him encounter the powers that be, and his life is taken. He gives up his life on the cross. A few years later, that movement that follows Jesus, again, is threatened, and the temple is destroyed. Crisis comes, and the people aren't quite sure what to do. It's here at this point, in the middle of that crisis, that we move back to this time of Jesus' death and resurrection to try to understand what is God up to, how is God working, is God faithful? And we see there in the death of Jesus on the cross, we see God's perfect gift of love. His Son, Jesus Christ, who gives up his life for the sake of the world. And it's this event that now informs an event that chronologically, as Mark tells the story, hasn't happened yet. So this is why things get confusing, because it's this story that Mark is telling that's informing a later time that they're going through, but that hasn't become part of the story yet. The message to God's people, to the people who are following Jesus at that time, is keep awake. It's an urgent time. Again, it's a time of crisis. Keep awake because, yes, this crisis is threatening your very existence, but there is one who is at the gate. There is one who is keeping watch. There is one who is there and who has in the past been faithful, who has seen God's people through crisis from the beginning of time all the way up till now. There is one who has been faithful, and that faithfulness is shown in Jesus Christ. And so God's word is telling God's people to stay awake, to stay alert, and to wait expectantly as God is preparing to be faithful once again in the time of crisis that is being faced in that day. And so now fast forward to our day. We're going to put that on the timeline up here by the table. We fast forward to our day. Are there any crises that you may be concerned about, either in the world, in the church, or in your own personal life? I want you to take just a few moments to turn to somebody next to you and share with that person a crisis that you might be concerned about. And again, it can be a crisis in the world, in the church, or in your own life. Go ahead and talk about that a little bit. It's okay to talk during a sermon. I'm giving you permission. Is there a crisis that burdens you today? See, I know you want the pastor to do all the work, but sometimes you have to name your own crisis. If you're honest, I would think some of you may have mentioned some of these mass shootings that we've been experiencing again in our culture. $10 trillion of national debt. An opioid epidemic that has become a crisis. Wars and rumors of wars. Perhaps a crisis in a marriage or a family crisis. The crisis of the church in today's world. You see, we, like the people of Isaiah's time, we might pray to God as well. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. Oh, that you might tear open the heavens and come down and set things right, make things right. Because we know with each crisis, we know that things are not the way that God intends them to be. Because each and every crisis threatens life. Each and every crisis threatens the existence of someone, some place in this world. And so we too cry out, oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. The word of God continues to speak to you and to me. Stay awake. Stay awake for two reasons. Stay awake so that you can be about, so that you individually and we as a church can be about the work that God has given us to do and not get sidetracked by all of these crises and by the worry and the anxiety that they can create within us. But instead, give that worry and anxiety to God so that we can stay focused on the work of life and the work of love. But also stay awake so that you don't miss what God is up to in God's work of faithfulness to us now in this day and in this generation. And God says to us, remember that I have your todays and your tomorrows in my hands, and I will be faithful. As you wait for my visible return, remember that I am with you always. The cross tells us that when we return to this place in the story, the cross teaches and tells us that God will be with us forever. God will not abandon or forsake us, but God will stand in that place of crisis with us to give us strength and courage and give us the ability to be awake in His life-giving mission. God is pretty good at dealing with crises, any crisis that the world might throw at us. And this earlier event, this event that informed the people in 70 AD and beyond, that same event that informed them and gave them courage, continues to give us courage, continues to give us hope, continues to inform us that God is faithful. And notice where these two things happen, at the font and at the table. Today, Elliot Nichelle will be baptized as a daughter of God. God's promises, God's claim will be poured out upon her, and her life will be changed. And whatever crisis comes along for her, and we pray that her life will be crisis-less, that her life will be abundant and joyful. But like with most of us, she will face crisis. And in those crises, Jesus stands with her now. Jesus holds her in that promise. And this table, the symbol that is there with us today in our time on this timeline, this table is that place where we encounter our Lord Jesus Christ, where He gives Himself to us again and again, day after day, so that we can find new life, so that we can find courage in times of crisis and stress and anxiety, so that we can trust Him, being fed and nourished for the journey, so that we can be about the work of love and life and goodness, and so that we can be an expectant people people who know that God continues to work day in and day out to give us new life, to support us in any crisis that we might face, and to hold on to us until that day when God does indeed tear open the heavens and come to set things right. Let all God's people say,
with longing and hopeful expectation, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. Come, long-expected one. Awaken your church to be alert for the signs of your coming in unexpected people and places. Ever-present Creator God, our holy scriptures begin with these words. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Whenever that moment was, and however the creation took place, we have the witness that you were there. You were the cause. You continue to sustain your creation, and we confess that we are the clay and you are the potter. We wait for your coming. Our holy scriptures end with these words. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Let him who is thirsty, come. Let him who desires take the water of life without price. Surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. We wait for your coming. Throughout the ages, humankind sought assurance of your presence, your coming among us. You gave your servant John a vision of what will be. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. We wait for your coming. Lord of grace and mercy, we lift the names of those who have asked to be remembered in prayer. Join with me in reading the names of those as listed in your bulletin. Rolf, Liam, Michaela, Ione, Leona, Mavis Ann, Anne, Tim, Julius, Luann, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of the Magianas, missionaries Colin, Jenny, Josephine, and Amos. We are the walking wet. We are those who live each day in the promise of our baptism and the promise of your presence. And we rejoice that we have been joined today by Nicole, by Elliot, last name, help me. Nichelle, Elliot Nichelle in our life journey. There are others who need to know that you hold them by the hand and lead them. Remove our fears and give us courage for the paths ahead. We wait for your coming. A word of explanation. The verb come leads off more hymns than any other word or verb in our hymnal. I'm going to share with you the first words of each of those more than 20 hymns. Some are an appeal for our Lord to come. Some are an appeal for us to come. Come, all you people. Come and fill our hearts. Come, beloved of the Maker. Come down, O love divine. Come, follow me, the Savior spake. Come, gracious Spirit, heavenly dove. Come, Holy Ghost, God and Lord. Come, join the dance of Trinity. Come, let us eat. Come, let us join our cheerful songs. Come, live in the light. Come, my way, my truth, my life. Come now, O Prince of Grace. Come, thou Almighty King. Come, thou Fount of every blessing. Come, thou long expected Jesus. Come to me, all pilgrims thirsty. Come to the table. Come to us, creative spirit. Come, we that love the Lord. Come with us, O blessed Jesus. Come, ye disconsolate. Come, ye thankful people, come. Come, you faithful, raise the strain. We wait for your coming. Receive our prayers, faithful God, as we watch and wait for your coming among us. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen. God Most High, God with us, God poured out upon us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen.
Go in peace. Remember the poor. Live in the confidence of God's presence.
Thanks be to God.